Hello and welcome back. I'm so glad you've pressed play today because we're diving into one of the most exciting and honestly, one of the most manageable parts of your OCR GCSE English Literature exam, unseen poetry. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. Unseen? That sounds terrifying. But here's the thing, and I want you to hold on to this. The unseen poem is actually your greatest opportunity in the whole paper. Why? Because every single student in that exam hall is in exactly the same position as you. Nobody has seen it before. Nobody has a pre-prepared essay. The playing field is completely level, and the students who do best are simply the ones who have the best toolkit. And that's exactly what we're going to build today. Over the next 10 minutes, we're going to cover the core concepts you need, the exam techniques that unlock top marks, the most common mistakes to avoid, and we'll finish with a quick-fire recall quiz to lock it all in. Let's go. Let's start with the basics. In OCR J352, the unseen poetry question appears in Component 02, Section A, Part B. It's worth a significant chunk of marks, and here's the crucial thing that makes OCR different from other exam boards. You are only assessed on two assessment objectives, AO1 and AO2. That's it. AO1 is your personal critical response, your interpretation of what the poem means, what it's doing, and how it makes you feel as a reader. AO2 is your analysis of the writer's methods, the language, the form, and the structure. Each of these is worth exactly 50% of the marks. Now, here is the single most important thing I will say in this entire podcast. AO3, context, is worth 0 marks. AO4, comparison, is worth 0 marks. If you spend time writing about the historical background of the poem or comparing it to another poem you've studied, you are wasting precious minutes and gaining 0 credit. OCR is very clear on this. Focus entirely on the poem in front of you. So, how do you approach a poem you've never seen before? I want you to use what I call the 3-read strategy, and I want you to give yourself a full 5 minutes to do it properly. Your first read is for gist. Just read the poem through as you would read a text message or a short story. Don't annotate yet. Just ask yourself, what is this poem about? What is the situation? Who is the speaker? What is the general mood or tone? Your second read is for meaning. Now you're going deeper. What is the central message or idea? What emotions does the speaker express? Is there a shift in tone, what we call a volta, somewhere in the poem? Where does the poem change direction? Your third read is for methods. This is where you pick up your pen and start annotating. Look at the language choices, the specific words the poet has selected and why. Look at the form. Is it a sonnet? A free verse poem? Does it have a regular rhyme scheme, or is the rhyme irregular? And look at the structure. How are the stanzas organized? Does the poem use enjambment, where lines run on without a pause? Does it use caesura, that deliberate pause in the middle of a line to create a particular effect? Now, when you come to write your response, I want you to think about structure. The best responses track the development of the poem. They move through it from beginning to middle to end, rather than jumping around by technique. Examiners call this a sustained response, and it's one of the hallmarks of the highest level answers. Let me give you a model sentence to show you what a high-level analytical point looks like. Imagine the poem contains the line, "The silence grew teeth." A weak response might say, "The poet uses a metaphor here." That's feature spotting, identifying a technique without explaining its effect. A strong response would say, "The poet's striking metaphor. The silence grew teeth, transforms an absence of sound into something predatory and threatening, suggesting that the speaker's isolation has become actively dangerous rather than merely uncomfortable. The verb grew implies a gradual, organic development, as though the silence has been feeding on the speaker's fear over time." Do you see the difference? The strong response names the technique, embeds the quotation, analyses the specific word choices within it, and explores the effect on the reader. That is what earns marks at the top levels. Let me also talk about form and structure, because this is where many candidates lose marks. Form and structure are not just decorative features, they carry meaning. If a poem is written in a tightly controlled sonnet form with a regular rhyme scheme, that control might reflect the speaker's attempt to impose order on chaotic emotions. If the poem breaks into irregular stanzas or uses enjambment to push lines forward without pause, that might mirror the speaker's sense of urgency, breathlessness, or loss of control. Always ask yourself, why has the poet made this formal choice, and what does it contribute to the poem's meaning? One more key concept. the difference between the speaker and the poet. The speaker of the poem, the I or the voice we hear, is not automatically the same person as the poet who wrote it. Examiners award credit to candidates who maintain this distinction. Say the speaker or the poet presents a speaker who, rather than assuming the poem is autobiographical. Right, let's talk about the mistakes that cost students marks and how to avoid every single one of them.
Mistake number one, feature spotting. This is the most common error at GCSE level. Identifying a technique, there is alliteration here, without explaining what it does is worth very little. Every technique you name must be followed by an explanation of its effect on meaning and on the reader.
Mistake number two, narrative retelling. Some candidates spend their response summarizing what happens in the poem. This is not analysis. Examiners want to see you engaging with how the poem works, not what it says. Mistake number three, neglecting form and structure. Many students focus entirely on imagery and language devices and completely ignore the poem's shape. Remember, form and structure are worth just as many marks as language analysis under AO2. Mistake number four, and this is the big one for OCR, attempting to compare the poem to another text or adding biographical or historical context. OCR does not assess AO3 or AO4 in this question. Any time you spend on comparison or context is time wasted. Now for the positive tips. Use short embedded quotations. That means weaving the quotation into your sentence rather than dropping it in as a separate block. Short quotations allow you to zoom in on individual words and phrases, which is exactly what examiners want to see. Structure your response to track the poem's development. Begin with the opening lines, move through the middle, and address the ending. This shows the examiner that you understand the poem as a whole, unified piece of writing. And always, always link your analysis back to the poem's overall effect or central idea. Every paragraph should end with a sentence that connects your point to the bigger picture of what the poem is doing. Okay, quiz time. I'll ask the question, give you a moment to think, then I'll give you the answer. Question one, what two assessment objectives are assessed in the OCR Unseen Poetry question? That's right, AO1 and AO2, each worth 50%. Question two, what is the three read strategy? First, read for gist, second read for meaning, third read for methods. Question three, what is feature spotting and why does it lose marks? Feature spotting is naming a technique without explaining its effect. It loses marks because it shows no analytical depth. Question four, what is a volta? A volta is a turn or shift in the poem, a change in tone, perspective, or argument, often found in sonnets but present in many poems. Question five, should you include biographical context about the poet in your OCR Unseen response? No, AO3 is worth 0 marks in this question. Let's bring it all together. The OCR Unseen Poetry question is your chance to shine as an independent analytical reader. You have everything you need, the three-read strategy to approach the poem, the pedal paragraph framework to structure your analysis, and the knowledge that AO1 and AO2 are your only focus. Remember, track the poem's development, embed short quotations, analyze specific word choices, and always explain the effect on the reader. Avoid feature spotting, avoid retelling, avoid comparison, and avoid context. The students who do best in this question are not the ones who know the most poems. They're the ones who read most carefully and think most deeply about the poem in front of them. And you can absolutely do that. Thank you so much for listening. Good luck in your exam. I'm rooting for you. Now go and practice with some unseen poems, and remember, every poem is a puzzle waiting to be solved. See you next time.